session number 20180/2, Rule 1.
Can you tell us how you first heard about the Jaws? Oh, how you got to be in the order, wasn't it?
Well, my husband, he put my name down because he knew they were going to start women, you see.
He was working in the yard.
He worked there, you see, so it was time then. And of course, when the rumours got around that they were starting the women, I went and he said, oh yes, we've got your name down. So he says, well, what would you like to do? Any job, but I would like to be in the shipyard, not in the sheds. I like fresh air. He says, well, the only job I've got going is whatever you call a spurner.
Who was that? That was the foreman?
That was the manager. And so I says, oh, well, I've had no training of any kind. So he said, oh, well, shall I fix you up with that? So I started, and when I walked into the shipyard where my husband, they were nearly all men. I never saw any women. Of course, they were all working in the sheds, excuse me. So, I was the only woman amongst all the carcass. So embarrassed. He says, oh, you'll get used to that.
Why did you, just because you were one woman?
One woman, you see, I was the first carcass burner for the shipyard, you see. So they started us off with an apprentice, showed us how to light me cutter and put your gauges right, you know, for the oxygen and that. And he just, well, 6 weeks. He just showed us, and I was on scrap, burning scrap. And then after 6 weeks, he says, oh, you've got to go on the ship in the cut. My God, climb up the gang. Well, I've never been on a big ship in my life. You know, climb up the gangways. So when I got on there, you got pulled around a bit, you know. Well, the ship was so big, wasn't it? And doing the odd jobs and that, you know. And then somebody else would come and say, oh, you've got to go ashore. Do a job for the blacksmiths. That's all, you know.
Yeah.
But, all and, but anyhow, I got a bottle girl.
You got a bottle girl?
A bottle girl. She had to get me bottles. Of course, I was on the bottom then, you see. Because on the ship, they eventually got the taps to connect instead of carrying the bottles aboard, you know.
So you had to go onto the ship and carry your bottles in the beginning.
Yes, in the beginning you had to, the bottle girl or the bottle lad, and
Did you find it when you went in there and you had to go and climb up all these gangways and ladders and all that? Did you find it frightening?
No, I didn't feel it. I didn't find it frightening. I was more frightened of the bombing and that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what I was frightened of the whole night. So, you got moved all over the shipyard. And then when they start building on the stocks, well, I used to stand by for cutting all the girders and, you know, the frames and all that, you know. And
was your husband still working in the yard?
No, he had gone into forces.
Well, you just got married, hadn't you?
I just had been married in the December. And he went into forces in the January, you see. Well, you only had 6 weeks training, and you sent abroad. But before he had went back to the army, he went along to the Redheads to see his mates and the manager, and the manager had told him that they were going to start the women. So he says, oh, he says, my missus will come. She'll start, well, of course. They put my name down, but I didn't give them a chance to send for us. I went along myself, you see. So that's how I ended up being the boner.
What was the work? So the work was pretty heavy work?
No, it wasn't heavy. It wasn't heavy. No, it wasn't. The heaviest part about it was, if your bottle lad or your bottle lass wasn't on the job, it meant I had to carry my own bottles, but the small ones, not the great big ones. Certainly in the mat. And drag me gear from bullet to aft or down below, you know. They were supposed to stand by, but, you know, they were never on the job.
So what exactly did you do when you were burning them and hurting them? What was your work on?
Burning the manholes, portholes, the mast, or the mast.
Oh, yeah. And how, what kind of, like, did you have to be very precise about it?
No, well, I did it first. I thought all work had to be perfect till one of the carkers come along. He says, oh, don't pussy. He says, we do that. They're the carkers. He says, don't be pussy. Of course, I thought that everything had to be perfect with being a ship. And when I was there 6 months, I went over to see the manager and I asked for a rise. I thought, well, I'm efficient at my job. So I went to and I got my rise. Had his rise. And,
How much were you getting? How much money were you getting?
I can't remember. I can't remember the money. But I know it wasn't a great lot, because going back, my husband was demobbed in 1946, October 1946. And then he went back in, and his wage was only £4.19 and 6. So it wasn't a great deal that we got. But I got the same wage as the men got.
Oh, you did?
Because I was doing the same type of work as what the burners were doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So you got the same as
same wage as them.
What kind of hours did you work?
Well, I worked 7 days a week, and I worked Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 4 half shifts, all day Saturday and all day Sunday. You know, when they were needing the ship was going to be finished.
So when you were...
But I worked a lot of half shifts apart from that, you know, when they started the ship on the stops.
Where were you living at the time?
I was living with his mother in Burnham Street, not far off the shipyard.
Yeah.
You know, just a couple of minutes walk along.
So you lived there?
Yeah.
You pay her board, did you?
Well, at first I couldn't pay her board because I only had 17 and 6 army pay. And when I got started work, well, I used to, but she wouldn't take much of it because she knew why I went into the shipyard was to make some money to get a home to put together for my husband coming out from the war. Right. So she didn't take much of it, like. But the tax, you know.
Yeah.
Tax, they used to tax you.
What about, did you? You were, all the time you were there, you're the only woman working with
them. Oh, for a good while, till I started another burner.
Mm-hmm.
Then I had to train her.
Mm-hmm.
Then we started another one. Well, I had to train them, you see, because I was fully qualified.
Mm-hmm.
Had been there a good while, you see.
Did you get any kind of certificate to say you were?
No, you got nothing. No.
So, and but they'd all be working and by themselves, basically.
Basically,
they were working by yourself.
Yes. After they got their training, 6 weeks of me, they were all on their own.
Did you have to join a union?
Oh yes, I was in the union.
Which one?
Boilermakers. Boilermakers. Yes. And we used to pay, used to come around for our union money, we used to pay them sixpence. Mm-hmm. That was just for a maker's time loss. Oh.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sixpence.
You used to give sixpence to them?
Yes. When he collected our union money, that was to make his loss of time, you know. Now, it was very good for him to work for. Because, I mean, if we want to go anywhere special, all I had to do was ask for a pass out of the charge hand, and you could get a pass out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, by the afternoon or whatever.
Yeah.
Still got your pay.
So what kind of things would that be? What kind of things would you get a pass out for?
If I wanted to go anywhere special, you know.
What, like the dentist or?
Yes, if you wanted to. Well, you have to tell a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, after all, and when you've worked 7 days a week and four half shifts, I think you're entitled to have a bit time off, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
So, instead of just staying off, just ask for a pass out. You know, you can do some shopping or something like that.
Yeah.
Of course, you see, my husband was away for 5 years or so, and but I'd have some time off, you know, if I wanted to go and see a special picture or anything like that in the afternoon. I've got a pass out.
Yeah. Did you sort of socialise with the other?
Oh, yes.
Go out for a drink or something like that?
I never used to, because my father-in-law thought it wasn't. He thought it was, wasn't right, me going to pub. I went in one night after I had been non-stop half shift, all day in the half shift, and we finished at 9 o'clock at night. And it was a warm and a dry job that I had. Mm-hmm. You know, you get a certain amount of fumes off the burning.
Oh,
And after there was two or three, there was three came in, women burning. They said, oh, we'll go across the road into the pub for a shandy. Of course. I thought, well, my mother-in-law will have me supper ready when I get in. So we went in. Of course, my father-in-law come in and went, no. He says, this is no place for you. Of course, oh, I just came out and left me workmates and go along home. I thought it had nothing to do with him, but that was my life, and I was entitled to something, you know. I mean, just a short wind. I mean, the pub's closed about 10 o'clock then.
Yeah.
But I'm all white in the snow, haven't I, Sandy? So I come up to a row.
Did you have a row with him about?
Yes. And of course, I was getting upset to start with. I mean, with my husband being in the war, and he was in the paratroops, the medical paratroops, and not having any word from him, you know, I was tensed up. And I thought, well, I'm fed up here. You know, it's from Monday to Sunday, the same routine, and not seeing light. I mean, it was fine working in a shipyard, mixing with everybody, you know, and your half hour's break in the morning, and your dinner hour, you know, you could have a chat amongst yourselves, you know. Oh, yes, I'd come up with a terrible row. And then he was sorry. I mean, I wasn't doing any harm. I wasn't doing any harm. If I had wanted to do any harm, I would have done it long enough since.
Yes.
Just having a quiet little shandy.
Yeah, after you've been working all the time.
After I've been working all the time.
So were you all right after that? I mean,
oh, yes, you were sorry.
So you were able to go out for
yes,
a minute, you felt?
But I never bothered after that. I never have done. And when my husband was alive, I never went to clubs or anything with him. I had no fancy. But after we finished work, altogether I lost contact with everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all scattered.
What year did you start in?
Back end of 1942, I think it was.
And you were there for the whole war?
Yes, till about 1945, I'm not sure. I know I was finished about 9 months before my husband was deported, so it must have been 1945.
Yeah, you were finished, you were paid off?
Yes, we were finished. Well, I was the last one to be finished. I dare say if I had wanted to be kept on, I could have. But I knew my husband was going to be deported, and I thought, well, I've seen no sense in me working. You know, well, I don't think he would allow us to work there if he was coming home.
A bit odd, that, isn't it?
Yes.
He puts your name down when he goes home.
But I mean, when they pin all the women up, it wasn't right. They did. There was one blacksmith burner. She stayed on for a good while. But she had the machine. She hadn't the gear like I had, you know, the pipes and that. She just had to stand by the machine all the time. She was on, she kept on for a long, long time.
Was it something you enjoyed then, working?
Oh, yes. And I used to look forward to it. Of course, it was for a good cause. We wanted the war finished. But it was very interesting, you know, starting up from the beginning, building the ships. It was.
Yeah.
It's surprising. It used to make me wonder how they got it all built.
Why was that, didn't it?
It was somewhat strange to me, you know, because I had never seen a ship starting from the beginning.
Yeah. Do you come from a shipbuilding family, was it?
No, my father was seafaring. But my brothers, they all worked in the shipyards. Some of them were in the boats. I come off a family of 13.
Yeah.
I had 13 of us.
But you...
It was something I liked. I enjoyed it.
It was something that you wouldn't have seen otherwise.
That's it. The only time I got in the shipyard was when they were having the launches, you know, for the war. And I used to go down to watch them. You know, you could go in.
Yeah, what were they?
To watch them being launched.
You like that?
But the ambition was to be on the launch.
Yeah.
But I never got the chance. The women weren't allowed. Mm-hmm. Well, they weren't allowed.
Well, you never actually got on the boat. What did you think of launches then? I mean, I've been there, I think they're great.
Oh, yeah, no, we the launches. Mind what beautiful ships that they built.
Oh. Did you feel like you'd been part of building?
Oh, yes. It was sad when I was finished. You know, I was really sad.
Would you like to continue then?
In a way, if I hadn't been married, I would have.
Mm-hmm.
I would have. If I hadn't been married. But with being married, well, it wouldn't have been fair for him to come out after he'd been away 5 years abroad and me to work in the shipyard, because he was going back to the shipyard.
No, it seems like it would have been a good thing if you both could have worked.
Because, I mean, I wanted to start a family, you know. But I didn't find it hard. In the winter, mind, it was wicked cold. Very cold. on the ships, you know. Especially when the wood wasn't put on the cabins and that, you know.
Yeah.
Drafty.
They used to have a canteen or something.
Yes, right, the canteen. And just walk over the road and get what they eat and sandwiches for in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody canteen they had. Beautiful dinners and that.
Did you used to have all your bait with the men?
We had our own place in the shipyard, but just for women only. For half an hour's break, you know, in the toilets, just for the women only.
Did they have a woman to look after?
We had a poor woman, but I didn't come under her. We'd been in the shipyard. She was mainly for the ones that worked in the sheds, you know.
Just looking after their welfare.
Yes.
What about you? You were telling me, I think, last week about how dangerous it was at your job.
Oh, yes. I had only been there 2 days. Of course, the apprentice, he was only about 18.
Mm-hmm.
He hadn't really told us properly to hang the cutter over the bottles.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, the bottle lad just put it on the bottom and it got the soil in the nozzle.
Oh, yes.
And of course I went to light it and it just blasted it. All the acetylene bottle was a fire, you know,
mm-hmm.
and all the pipes had burst at it. If it hadn't been for the foreman later just grabbing me,
mm-hmm.
and me, you know, got on my face all like scorched,
mm-hmm.
and I was suffering from shock. And they sent us home, and I said, I'm not going back to that job. It's too dangerous, because I had already seen a lad, a man, not a lad. He had backfired, and he was severely burnt. He's dead now, and he's a poor lad. And of course, my nerves got the better. I was saying that. I thought, if that's going to happen all the time, if I've got to go on a ship. So the next day I thought, well, I'll have to go back to get my nerves back. So I just went in and put, before I picked my cutter up, I turned it on to blow anything out.
Right.
You see, it was the other carcass burners that had told me. He says, all of us, doesn't matter if it's been hanging over the bottles, blow it out. But there's only dirt in the nozzle, because
right.
that's what causes the backfire.
Yeah.
So I got over that all right, and working on the ship again in the gut, and I was cutting the for the mast,
mm-hmm.
great big, you know, but thick. And of course, you had to put a burner hole. And the bottle lad or the bottle lass had to stand there all the time. And I used to have to cut half of it. Then they were supposed to pull that half up. They hadn't let it go down for if anyone was underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had only gotten half of it done. And I heard a plane just above. And I said to my sister-in-law, hey, I wonder if that's a German plane. So she says, how are you? Pack in. We'll go for our breakfast. I says, no, I must finish this job. You hadn't to leave the job all finished. I says, I must finish it. And I had just gotten up my knees, and the crane with all the girders snapped right on the very spot where I'd been kneeling. And it's the one I didn't tell you. Jenny didn't tell you. Would never be as near as death again.
Yeah.
Because if you had seen the state that there was girders,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
there was a lot of them. But right at this very spot.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went up like a bee.
Yeah.
The whole lot.
Yeah.
It was all around the yard in a matter of seconds. Hey, Francis the Burner and her sister-in-law nearly been killed.
Yeah.
I had a narrow escape, I tell you.
How did that affect you? Were you frightened to go back then?
No, I wasn't, no. But it was only the idea, the crane snapping and all them girders right at the very spot, because I was working direct with the crane, mm-hmm. you know, on the ship. Mm-hmm. And the way it snapped and down they came and it just bent right off. My goodness, the end has come. And then, good while after that, I was in the mast house again. And I was lighting the cutter. And of course, something must have gotten in the nozzle again. Mm-hmm. And the hold, and as I lit it up, it blew me right side the hold. If I had been tall, I think I would have been over the top and down in the bottom. But with being short...
Right, you hit the side of the hold.
Yes, I was short. Yeah. But, oh my God, I said, this is three times. Yeah. And after that, I had no more for that.
That didn't frighten you
either? But I had trouble with my eyes. I had eyes darkness. I think because I had done too much, worked too much, you know. And I went in for really just give us eye crystals.
That was just looking at the torch, was it?
Yes. And working tired. My eyes were tired. Working too much, you see.
What kind of clothes did you wear? Did you have any safety?
Just your ordinary gear. I used to have a pair of trousers and a boiler suit. And you had your leather armlets and your gloves. And your glasses. You know, the goggles. I thought, that's
all. That was all.
I used to wear men's brogues. I used to buy the men's brogues, you know.
What did you wear over your head?
I used to just wear my beret. I used to have some terrible burns.
Yeah.
I've still got burns all on my feet. Because the hot slag used to get down into your shoes, you know, and when it got under the, you know, the front, and you couldn't, it used to stick to your flesh, and it used to, week for weeks, it was acetylene, you know, acetylene, had some terrible burns, and coats, of course in the winter time you had to wear a heavy coat. I was always on fire. I had to go to the second-hand shop to buy coats because I couldn't cope with it. And I mean, we got coupons, but I mean, not a lot, you know, from the shipyard.
I got some for the coats.
And you got coupons for your boiler suits. Of course, I was forever buying there.
Yeah.
I was getting burnt, especially if it was a windy day.
Right.
You know, you'd be on fire, and someone would say, "Eee, you're on fire." You see, I couldn't smell that I was on fire. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, I see. One of the interesting things about this is, from what we're doing, is it's about women going into a man's world.
Yeah.
Did you feel that? Did you feel when you went in?
Oh, I didn't think shipyards was made for women, you know. Before I went in, I thought, it's bad. Because, I mean, men, sometimes they're inclined to forget themselves, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, or come out with their language and that. But, mate, they were a real smashing lot. They were.
Yeah.
They were all very considerate, the men.
In what way? How did they? How were they considerate?
They treat you like a woman, mm-hmm. not like a man. They treat you like a woman. They would help you. They would help you, you know.